Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds. Real nice, real smooth.
Feel
hello,
that?
Hello, people. Hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody. Hello. My name is David Bell.
You sure?
Yeah, my name is David Bell.
Is it? And yeah. I'm Tom Ryman?
Ryman, yeah, I believe so.
Is that right? Is that accurate?
I think so.
I'm gonna Google it. Hold on.
We could be clones of ourselves.
We could be. We could be second or third generation clones of ourselves.
Yeah, because guys, we just watched Gemini Man.
Gemini Man.
Not to be confused with like a Cancer Man from the X-Files.
No, I'm not sure why you would, but oh, they're both zodiac signs. I see what you did
Cancer
there.
Cancer Man. Yeah. See, I'm so smart.
I think I know why he's as good as you. He is you.
25 years ago, they made you from me. They chose me because there's never been anybody like me. We have to end this right now.
Okay. So no one saw this movie, right?
No, nobody is seeing this movie.
Let's start with that.
Nobody is seeing this movie. Maybe we should have seen The Addams Family.
Yeah, or like, I know Parasite is in limited theaters right now, and it might be doing better than Gemini Man. Tom, what did you think of Gemini Man?
I liked it. There are a few very silly parts in it. But for the most part, I was like, okay, it wasn't quite what I was expecting.
Really?
Yeah, I was expecting more. I was expecting more of like an action movie, and this is kind of more. This is kind of more like '90s spy thriller with some action sequences in it.
Yeah, this was exactly what I expected. I made a prediction. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I made it in Hypecast or anything, but I know I've made it to you. Is that I knew this movie was going to do very bad. That's not a hard prediction.
Yeah, we talked about it last week on Hypecast. Yeah.
I knew it was going to do very bad, and I knew I was going to love it. And I think I did.
it's fun. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it's I can't say it's a good movie or a great
movie. No, it's not. No, it's none of those, but it's, I don't know.
I got,
go ahead, finish that.
Oh, sorry. I got from the trailer that it was like, oh, this is going to be like a 1999 to 2002 thriller.
Yeah. Yeah,
like this was going to be like the sixth
firmly
day.
What it is. And I had that thought while I was watching it. I was like, if this had come out in like 2003, this would have been a huge hit, I bet.
Maybe. It might still have been like a big old fart, like Paycheck.
Well, I mean, Ben Affleck was never Will Smith.
Yes, that's fair. I think when Will Smith was on top, he wouldn't do this as, I don't know. Because he can still kind of do whatever he wants.
I see why he did this movie, and he's pretty good in it.
Yeah,
like the dual role he does decent.
Yeah,
with.
He does a great job. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of like Replicas, which we watched as well, where it's just from the premise alone, you know that it exists decades before now, because it's like we're past clones. We're past this sci-fi cloning. Like, we did this with The Sixth Day.
The Sixth Day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We should watch The Sixth Day.
Oh, 100%. Love that movie.
Drops ghoulish Tony Goldwyn clone out of a window onto his head.
So good.
Spoilers for The Sixth Day, you guys.
Yeah, and so this, I got that vibe, and it delivered that vibe for me.
Yeah.
All the way through, because it's the action is quite good when it happens.
Yes. It's directed by Ang Lee, surprisingly.
Yeah.
He's very good with that. So all the action sequences are pretty good.
Right. But the action is quaint for these days. It's just like car chase. or motorcycle chase, a van explodes. You know, like it's it's really done.
Yeah, I still liked it. Like, I appreciated it though. It
was 100%. Me too.
It was more. It's not John Wick, but it was more like
more sort mid 2000s action.
Right. It was more like the premise is so unbelievable. I'm struggling to grasp this thought. It's not like it's refreshing to see a movie where it's like you're just tense because people are getting shot at,
yeah,
and not necessarily because they're fighting Thanos in space.
Well, here's the thing: Ang Lee made this, and for that reason, the action scenes are so well shot that they're doing stuff that, again, we've technically seen a million times. The scene where he's on the motorcycle and Will Smith is chasing Will Smith, and Will Smith is up on the thing, up on the stone wall, and then Will Smith is down in the road. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw that in the Tomb Raider sequel. The difference is that this is shot really well.
Yeah.
For an action scene. So I was smiling the whole time and enjoying it. The way I would enjoy like a Avengers film. Like I loved that ride.
Yeah.
I love that there was a lot of like spy thriller stuff.
Yeah.
I actually expected more of a twist, and I really appreciated the film not trying to do some dark twist or being like the ending of Replicas, which was sure something.
That movie's like a fever dream in my mind.
It is. I keep remembering a robot in a suit. Did that really happen in that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It did.
I gotta watch that one again.
Mm-hmm. We should all revisit Replicas starring Keanu Reeves.
100%. Yeah, this is about, you probably saw in the trailers, people. You probably didn't watch the movie. And we're going to spoil it, and this is one where I'm going to say it doesn't matter.
Not really.
it does not matter if this movie is spoiled for you. Keanu Reeves is like a trained assassin. Keanu Reeves. Will Smith. We were just talking about Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Will Smith is a special assassin who tries to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they don't want him to? I'm not sure why they try to kill him, Tom.
He finds out that the last person, like one of his old friends from his government wet work days, tells him that the last guy he assassinated was like a doctored file. Like he wasn't really a terrorist. That's why they're trying to kill him.
It's nice and simple. Again, it's 2000 spy. It's enemy of the state, which is just, here's this tape. And then everybody's like, I want that tape. And then they're going after him, you know, like
at some point, Jason Lee gets hit by a fire truck.
Yep. Sure does. That movie, Jack Black's in that movie.
He is.
That movie is a fucking fever dream as well.
Yeah. That was back when Jack Black was showing up in espionage thrillers and getting murdered.
Yeah. Back when we didn't know what to do with Jack Black yet. We were like, we got this guy, and like we seem to be putting him in stuff. What's weird about that, and this is a little tangent, but Jack Black only kind of works as a comedic actor. Like, I'm not trying to insult the guy, but he's not a leading man look.
Mm-hmm.
He's a funny friend. And yet, when we first started with Jack Black, he was like the straight man and cable guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And a spy tech dude in Enemy of the State, and then in the background of Demolition Man.
And in The Jackal.
And in The Jackal,
he builds Bruce Willis's gun and tries to shake him down, and so Bruce Willis kills him.
And it's like, what the fuck were we trying to do with Jack Black?
Know. He was one of the smoker pirates in Waterworld. Remember, he was the pilot?
Oh, yeah. And I'm so surprised he was able to get a career from... Like, he had to work hard. Because if I were Jack Black, I'd be like, look, I'm the funny guy. I'm a funny fat guy. It's going to be great. And everybody's like, you know what? I need you to be in a van in a Will Smith thriller. And it's like, no! What are you doing? That's not what I'm good for. Like, he had to... Like, Hollywood really didn't want him to just be Jack Black.
No... we're very far afield.
Yeah, whatever, man. Whatever. It's just, Gemini Man.
Just capping that thought real quick. I saw Jack Black on like Conan O'Brien or something, and explaining that stage of his career was he kept trying out for the same roles and losing them to Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Right.
So he auditioned for that guy in Twister.
I was about to say, if I were making Twister and I had Jack Black and I had Philip Seymour Hoffman, I'm sorry, Jack Black, but Philip Seymour Hoffman is right there.
We're going to go with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah. Like I think he also tried for that role in Talented Mr. Ripley. Like he had an anecdote about continuously losing roles to Philip Seymour Hoffman.
They probably spent a lot of time getting to know each other in like on casting calls and
walking
stuff.
Walking in and seeing each other, and they're like, it's this guy again.
Yep.
Anyway, Gemini Man.
So fucking, oh man, this movie.
This movie was written by David Benioff.
Yeah, it sure was. Which that checks out.
Yeah. And a few other people, but his name is on this piece.
And so Will Smith is whatever you just explained on that boat with the guy. I want to say right away, I appreciated that this movie did a weird thing that I appreciated, which was they gave all like the side characters like something, like little. Yeah. Because he goes on that boat and the guy is like married and has a kid, and then they show that he's cheating on his wife. And it doesn't really matter, but it like fleshes out the scene. And then the other part is his assassin guy earlier, he goes to his house and he's just like, he goes to get him a soda and he's like, I'll have a beer. And he's
right,
like,
sure? they show that his like handler is like has problems with alcohol.
Yeah, and he has a full arc in the movie his, and he's just a very small side character.
Yeah, we see him in three scenes.
Yeah. So I appreciated that. They all felt like real people-ish, as real as they can be in this.
Yeah. And I was delighted when Mary Elizabeth Winstead showed up. I was like, I didn't know she was in this.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't remember her from the trailer.
No, I don't think they put her in the trailer. I didn't know there was going to be a woman in this movie. The trailer, I don't think, included any women.
It was mostly Will Smith and Clive Owen growling at each other.
I super appreciated what they did with their character, because
she's great.
She doesn't end up boning Will Smith.
Nope. She also doesn't need to be rescued by him.
That was the first. They did a very good job with her, because the first sequence with her, because her job is to.
She's monitoring him.
Monitoring him, and he calls her out immediately.
Yeah, he finds her out immediately.
Because the idea is he's retired, and then the CIA or whoever he worked for is still having people watch him.
Right, because you can't just retire from
being a
government assassin. They're going to watch you.
I get it. That is totally understandable. And Will Smith seems to get it, too.
Mm-hmm. He's not mad about it.
No, he just calls her out. And then once he gets in the shit, because again, it's so weird. Like he's not being killed because he's a retired assassin.
It's because he was a retired assassin
who accidentally found something out.
Right.
And then they, for some reason, decide to just kill everybody adjacent to him.
Everybody that had anything to do with it, which is weird.
Yeah.
Like why do they kill his old partner? You know, the guy who was like, he calls him and he's like, oh, I'm just monitoring some people. Like the guy that was like his spotter in the hit in the beginning. I guess because he was on the hit.
Yeah. And also because they just needed a motivation for Will Smith to get together. The moment that happened and the moment I got very scared about the movie, because Will Smith calls her out. She works at a dock and she's renting him a boat. And apparently the CIA knew, like, look, this guy's going to do a lot of boat stuff. So you got to get a job at this dock. Sure.
Yeah, and I mean, they know where he lives.
Yep, and then he finds out his boat was bugged. He's got a bugged boat. Mm-hmm. And he calls her out. And, where was I even going with this?
I don't know. You said you were scared of the movie at first.
Oh, no, thank you. Jesus. Whew, this movie blew my mind, you guys.
Yeah, we're struggling today, guys. We had to gather the pieces of our brains after this movie blew our goddamn heads off.
Yeah. So he calls her out, and then he goes, and then she denies it, so he apologizes and invites her to dinner. And that was the moment I was like, oh no, is this the romantic like female lead? Are we gonna have to watch them fuck? Because he's like 50 and she's certainly not 50.
Yeah, she's much, much younger than him.
And I got nervous, and then she shows up to the date, and I was like, that woman, if she's not in the CIA, should not be showing up at the date with the man who accused her of being a CIA operative. Mm-hmm. And he brings flowers, and then he immediately shows her that he's found her personnel file and is like, you're so CIA. And she's like, all right, you got me. And then from then on, it's not romantic. Not really. They kind of tease at it a few times, but they shut it down pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they were telling the audience, like, no. And then after that date thing, I got nervous when the first time she got attacked and the guy attacks her in the little
boat shack, yeah.
And I thought, oh, okay, so Will Smith's gonna show up and shoot the guy. No.
And in point of fact, she beats him the shit out of him and knocks his teeth out.
She tortures him.
hands his teeth to Will Smith.
Yeah, it's a great moment because she basically, Will Smith opens the door, the guy's tied up. And she like says like, oh, it's this and this people are after you or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
He says, how do you know? And she just casually hands him a handful of teeth and walks out.
Like you do.
Yeah. And that was the moment I was like, oh, I love this movie.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed this piece of shit.
There's a couple of my only. I was totally
problems.
Yeah, I was totally on board for this movie most of the time, but there are some shocking shifts in tone. I want to, not necessarily tone, but like, okay. The first thing that really struck me as like, oh, this is kind of bad, is the first time when Will Smith Jr. attacks Papa Smith.
Right.
And it's they're where are they? Columbia, I think.
Mm-hmm.
At Benedict Wong's house.
Yeah. Who is in this?
Delightful addition to this film. Yeah, he's not in the trailer either, I don't think.
And he just pieces out of this movie via explosion.
He gets shot in the face with a bazooka. it's so abrupt. It's
I
like
didn't
right
even
after
what happened at first. I was like, wait, what?
It was like right after he cracked a joke.
Yeah.
Like a charming, tension diffusing joke. And they round the corner and a fucking missile comes
out.
It
goes from 0 to 60 because he's sitting in that car, not only unaware that this is one of the final moment of his life.
Right.
But that it's also going to involve getting shot in the face with a bazooka. He could have never guessed that what was about to happen to him.
If you sat him down and told him to make a list of 100 different ways he could possibly meet his end, mm-hmm. shot in the face with a bazooka while sitting in the back seat of a van would not be on the list.
But also, like, if you were to get shot in the face with a bazooka, normally, you'd probably be aware of the possibility for at least a couple minutes.
It would be on the table.
Yeah, at least a couple minutes before it happened. You'd be in a war zone. This, he's just going for a drive.
Driving down like a quaint downtown street.
Right, he doesn't know how he died. Like, it happens within 10 seconds from I'm driving to my face has been detonated by a bazooka.
I just caught a bazooka in the mouth.
Incredible. This film is fantastic.
Yeah, you're right. He will never know what happened
to
him.
No, he'll never know. It's not, there's no way he could have processed that fucking bazooka just that ended his life.
Right in the face.
No one saw it coming. Holy shit.
Because the other three managed to get out of the car. Like, he didn't even have time to process why they were leaping out of the car.
Because, what happens is they see the bazooka and they all leap out of the car. And I thought to myself, like, man, that one guy's not getting out of there, is he? Like, I was picturing myself in that car, and I was like, I wouldn't be able to get out of a car that fucking fast. Are you kidding me? And then they all turn around, they're like, oh, no. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, no, the Baron. I'd still be fumbling with my seatbelt.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way I could get out of a car that fast.
Fucking rocket shell hits me in the skull.
Oh, my God. This film is fantastic.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you thought that was as funny as I did.
It's fucking hilarious. By the way, I should note that part of my love of this film is I watched it in an audience with very few people, obviously. But yeah. There were three children in the audience who were not supervised. They were maybe, I don't know, they were the minimum age that you do that with a kid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this might have been their first unsupervised film.
What a strange pick.
Well, I gotta tell you, it was great, because I got to watch the film through the eyes of them, who were very verbal about their shock at the many twists of this film, because they had clearly only seen, like, 100 movies in their life at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, who knows. And so it was great to watch these kids fucking love this movie. They were having a blast.
Yeah, this yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
This movie shattering a 12-year-old's yeah. mind like a stained glass window.
Yeah, this is like Blade Runner for a kid, cuz it's just like, "Oh yeah. Shit."
Yeah, this movie is
clones.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what I wanted yeah. to point out, so not just that rocket launcher scene, that was, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's when Will Smith Jr. attacks Papa Smith in Colombia. And he basically corners him in a street with a motorcycle, and he's doing like motorcycle kung fu.
Yeah, he trying sure to, is, Tom.
Trying to kill him with his motorcycle. And at that moment, I was like, this is very silly.
Yes. like, it didn't help that the parts with Will, when he's on the motorcycle, he looks CGI. Like,
yes,
there's
does.
A few shots where it's like, okay, that is like Blade 2 level CGI.
Yeah.
And I would add that the face, the de-aging with Will Smith, in a lot of shots was just not very good.
No, it wasn't.
It was bad. Some of it was good.
Yeah. Most of it
wasn't.
And his scenes with Clive Owen, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's basically any time he's doing action.
Right.
Because they had to, like yeah, that's all, like, that's all, like, CG enhanced, too.
There's little things, too. Like, at one point, he eats, and I was just like, nope, don't make him eat. That's not working. Like, shit like
oh, yeah,
that.
When he's
like,
eating this little ice cream cone.
Yeah, or, like, there was certain shots where it was, like, him from behind even looked fake. Like, it felt like they had a double, and they forgot to change the double. But yeah. there were other shots that were just like, no, that's a rubber face. He's got a rubber face on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some uncanny valley problems.
Yeah.
But I can yeah. forgive that. Because,
yeah,
you know.
It's, you know. The other part where I was like, this is very silly, is the end of the movie.
Right.
Well, okay.
The end
there's,
of the
there's,
movie
there's,
is...
There's a couple not, of things I want to talk about.
Okay. There's a... they basically, at one point... Because Will Smith lives in Georgia, and like I think Gemini Man Project is in Georgia, and I like they went all around the world, right? And at one point they're like flying around because they got their guy with the plane.
Yeah, Benedict Wong.
Yeah, and then they're like, where to next? And he goes, Georgia. And they're like, Georgia? And he says something like, you know, Clive Owen will be there, but yeah. I expected him to be like, yeah, they got good tax cuts. Georgia, like,
yeah,
like, yeah, we ran out of money, we got to go to Georgia. And the finale of this movie takes place in a convenience store,
like a hardware store,
yeah. Like maybe like owned by the producer of the movie.
It takes place, yeah, it's like in Savannah, it's like yeah. in a small downtown area of Georgia in this quaint little hardware store.
It was shocking. It was a shocking location for the final action
scene. Right,
sequence.
After, like, they had one in Colombia, then they had another one in, like, the catacombs of yeah. Budapest.
Yeah.
And it's like, now let's go to a hardware store in Georgia.
It was so weird. I think they ran out of money. It was like they were shooting it in chronological order, and then they got to the end. They're like, shit, we have, like, $500 left. let's just find a store.
Oh, what can we do? Well, my uncle owns a hardware store. Perfect. Yeah. Will he let us film in it at night?
Only at night.
Can we blow it up?
Yeah. Yeah, for the insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a moment when so in the climax, Will Smith Jr. has turned good and has turned against his father, Clive Owen.
Yeah.
And Clive Owen. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I really enjoyed that aspect of this, which is that I thought the movie was going to spend fucking forever convincing young Will Smith to be good. But kind of the moment they lay it out for him, he's just like, oh, yeah, you know, that's pretty fucked up now that you say it out loud.
Yeah, yeah. Once you put all the, once, you know, somebody just had to put all those words together in a sentence for me. Now that I hear it spoken, like all those words close together like that, I can see how this is crazy and fucked up.
Yeah.
So, like, they kill a whole bunch of Clive Owen's guys. They have Clive Owen at gunpoint, and Will Smith Jr. is like, we got to end this. Like, I have to kill him. Like, we got to.
I'm so excited.
We got to end this because he's not going to go to trial or anything. And then old Papa Smith is like, no, don't do it, Junior. Don't do it, son. You don't want to. He gets real eloquent about it. He's like, if you pull that trigger, you're going to break something inside yourself that'll never get fixed.
Right, because this is his arc, and I want to establish it before we get to the very next thing that happens.
Yes.
Because I also really liked this part of the movie, is that the idea is the character Will Smith retires because he can't look at himself in the mirror anymore. Because he's killed, like, it was like 50-something people.
I think it's like 70, right?
Oh, okay.
It's like 75 confirmed kills, he says.
More than 50, less than 100.
He's killed a lot of people, yeah.
Too many. He's killed too many people.
Yeah, and he almost misses in the assassination in the beginning, and he's like, there was a little girl right next to that guy. If I had missed by an inch, I would have shot her instead. Like, I can't do this anymore.
Right, and then he learns the guy isn't even a terrorist.
Yeah.
So he's looking at young Will Smith, and he's thinking, like, there's a guy who is going to go down the exact same path as me, because it's literally me as a young assassin. And so they establish that he does consider Clive Owen his father, young Will Smith.
Yeah.
So now he's at this point where it's like, he has every right to fucking blow this guy away. Because the other reveal is they get attacked by another creature.
Another person. Will Smith clone.
Yeah, and it turns out to be an even younger Will Smith clone that has been like, that has been cloned to like not feel pain or emotion.
Right, he's not only cloned, he's like genetically engineered.
Yeah, and like they light him on fucking fire. And it's awesome.
He's like the Terminator.
Yeah,
he comes in there wearing like completely bulletproof armor, is beating the Christ out of both young and old Will Smith.
Right.
And they shoot him like 100 times.
Yeah. And the idea is like when he's laying there dying, like he feels like a robot because he is fucked up, but you'd never could tell it from his expression. Like,
yeah.
And that's the idea, is he's like still on fire and he's looking at them. And so, yeah, he's very mad at Clive Owen, his
right,
liar like, father who told him he was an orphan.
Yeah, I told him he was an orphan and that his parents left him in a fire station. And he just basically raised, like, he comes home after learning that he's a clone. And it's like, you remember, I never told you how much I hated Hammock Park. And he's like, what are you talking about? And it's like, yeah, for every year for my birthday, you took me hunting at Hammock Park and I hated it. So it's like Clive Owen didn't even, like, he was training him to kill from the beginning. Like, it was never even something he was interested in.
Right. It's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it's not. It's, you know, this
because he's like, I love you, son, and he's raised him. So Clive Owen probably does, because he calls him a few times when they're gonna bazooka them.
When the bazooka is about to happen,
he calls him and tells him like, you have to get out.
Yeah, you have to get away from Will Smith,
because he does care about him to an extent, but he's still training him to be, or raising him to be, a killer, and only a killer. Anyway, so he's got the gun pointed.
Right. So, and then Will Smith's like, you know, it's this all eloquent stuff. You can't do that. You know, you'll never be the same after this. You don't want those ghosts, man. Trust me, I know. And he gently takes the gun from him and then shoots Clive Owen in the face.
He doesn't just shoot Clive Owen in the face. I mean, he does that, but he doesn't just do that. He holds the gun down like he's not. He's not. He holds the gun like a gun that you're not going to shoot. He's kind of cradling it.
He's holding it like he's not going to shoot Clive Owen.
No, and it just looks like he accidentally shot him, because he's holding it and the barrel is pointed towards Clive Owen. But I don't even know if Will Smith's even really looking at him. And again, he's not aiming down the barrel.
It's like a no look shoot.
Yeah, and he shoots him so hard that Clive Owen flies to the ground.
Yeah, well, it's a double-barreled shotgun.
Yes. He pulverizes Clive Owen.
Yeah.
And it was another moment where I was like, what just happened? Was there a sniper? What happened to Clive Owen? Because I still don't believe that Will Smith shot him, because Will Smith doesn't act like he shot him. I mean, I know he shot him, but like...
It's just, I thought it was, I mean, obviously like...
It's done for a gag.
It's kind of a gag, but like it was after this emotional...
Yeah.
Moment, and that's like the completion of young Will Smith's arc is like, no, like you said, he's trying to spare him from
right.
going down the same road that he went down, and then murders his father in front of him. It's like, maybe at least wait till he leaves the room. Like, I understand Clive Owen had to be stopped and he was an evil man, but
well,
like,
hold on though, because at the end he goes to meet his friend who didn't stop this atrocity. And the friend is like, I'm going to probably see some charges, but it's all been shut down. So why would killing Clive Owen have changed any of that? They could have arrested him. They could have put him under arrest and they'd be fine. There's some weird stuff with that where when the third clone, the on fire clone, is there, the lady like raises her gun to shoot him.
Yeah, because he's clearly... Like it's what you're talking about. Like it's like he doesn't look like he's feeling pain, but he's actually in
right,
agony.
To mercy
like he's on
kill.
Fire.
And then yes. Will Smith is kind of like no, but like I know this is weird. I feel like the etiquette of shooting someone else's clone is to ask them first.
Right, she should ask.
Yeah, because like, is anybody cool if I shoot this one? Because I'm going to be shooting you essentially, and you're going to have to see you die. And they're never going to forget the image of me shooting you in the head. So
and
is
like
that
to think,
cool?
I like to think that's why Will Smith lowered the gun,
yes.
lowered her gun, where he's like, I don't need to see myself get shot.
Yeah,
in the
he's
face.
Just like, what are you doing? Like if she did shoot him, I feel like Will Smith would be like, holy shit!
Yeah,
the fuck was that?
She's also the one who set him on fire.
Yeah.
Like, she grabbed a little propane tank and threw it like a grenade and shot
it. She can always hold that over him. Like, if you don't behave, I'll fucking set you on fire. I've done it before.
Yeah.
And
he still wasn't like Will Smith Jr. had to shoot him like 5 times with that shotgun before he finally went. Like, he was the fucking Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. And so, Clive Owen gets comically shot. I think part of this is, I think Will Smith's a funny guy. And so I think when he makes a movie, he has fun ideas. And so I think that might have been a part of it, is that there's always a level of comedy, unless Will Smith is really going for it. I think he's always like, hey, can we get a joke in here? Can we do something fun in here? Something for the kids?
He's pretty serious in this movie up until the end.
He has a couple of lines.
He's a couple of fun lines.
Yeah, but yeah, he is fairly serious.
Will Smith doesn't come out until the very end of the film, where it's just like, oh, he's just ad-libbing right now.
Yeah, where he just becomes like, Will Smith.
When he just becomes Will Smith and not at all the character he was for the past 2 hours.
Right. The end of the film is him... going to the college campus.
The end of this movie is the silliest, craziest thing.
Yes, but I really appreciate it. Okay, I haven't told you what I thought was going to happen, by the way.
Okay,
is what that do you think was going to happen? Will Smith tells a story about Clive Owen tying weights to his ankles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And drowning him and then reviving him and recruiting him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the reveal was going to be that he actually killed him and he was a clone.
So did I.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, it's going to be one of those things. I'm actually really enjoy the fact that it ends the way it does, which is ultra happy. And they don't try to blow our minds too much.
No.
Although they did blow those children's minds when they reveal the third Will Smith, the kids in the theater audibly gasped when that happened.
it's you know what? When a movie is working, it's working.
Yeah.
I think some of that is Will Smith, because Will Smith famously has, like, when he comes on to a movie, he has writers that, like, punch the script up to make it a Will Smith movie.
Yeah, and I honestly think this movie didn't need to try to blow our minds.
No, it didn't. Not everything, like, you got a pretty, like, this movie's about clones. We don't need, like, a labyrinth of twists and turns on top of that.
Right.
Like,
so... And I want to circle back to the clones, but it ends with basically young Will Smith going to college and figuring out a new life for himself, and then old Will Smith showing up and like talking to him like he's his dad, and it's like, new dad, Will Smith, my clone dad. It's really fucking weird, the dynamic
well,
in this.
Well, that scene is like he meets up with young Will Smith and with Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who's like now been promoted.
And
in
Winstead
the National
Security. Is like new mom.
Right, they're behaving like his parents.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, you know, he gives him like his passport and his social security card and everything. It's like, here's your new identity. And it's like, how the fuck did he get enrolled in college without any of that?
Right.
Like, you need a social security number to enroll in college, don't you?
There's a part where Will Smith gets briefly arrested, and it's so brief because they clearly needed to do it just to like get him away from young Will Smith.
Yeah.
That then his buddies show up and just immediately use the fact that they're like CIA people to get him out. So I could see the CIA showing up and being like, hey, take this kid.
Oh, yeah, that's true. CIA. His handler does say something like, oh, he's taken care of.
Yeah.
But like, so they're like, and like young Will Smith's like, yeah, come on. I know a great place to go to lunch, which like everything about this interaction suggests that they are going to continue to see each other. And like
yes,
all three of them,
Papa
they're going to continue to visit each other.
Yeah.
So he's walking around in public with his fucking clone.
Well, I think, okay.
Like,
I think what's happening here is I think that they know rightfully so that no one would believe it. So that people would be like, oh my God, is that your father? You guys look so
alike.
That's
true. That's true. It's just, it's funny to me that it was like this top secret, shadowy, unthinkable government program that cloned this man.
Right.
And he's just walking around in public like he's his dad. So well, he's next to his fucking clone.
I like it because it's that thing where the government is like, what do? We have to shut it down. All evidence. And I always think of this in movies like this where they're like, they've seen too much. We have to assassinate them. And I want the main character to be like, hey, I got an idea. Why don't you just leave me alone or like bribe me and I'll be cool. Like, I always think of that with like Enemy of the State. I'd just be like, hey, look, I get it. You killed a guy. Here's the tape. Just give me some money. And we can all go our separate ways.
In reading about, oh gosh.
But that's sort of how this ends.
Yeah. And that's kind of like when we did a podcast about Zero Dark Thirty a couple of years ago, Abe and I were still at Cracked, like reading about how like, tracking down Osama bin Laden. That's like mostly how the government dealt with people.
Yeah, well, they
was just like, here, give him a bunch of money, give him a Ferrari.
Yeah, this is a whole different conversation, but it's part of why one of the reasons torturing people didn't work is because it was way more effective to just be like, hey, do you want anything?
Just give him some money.
Yeah, just give him some money.
And that's how they end up finding him. It's like they give a guy a Ferrari.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you give Will Smith a Ferrari, he won't say shit.
Yeah, and that's sort of how it goes, is at the end of this, they're like, or I won't say shit, but even if I do, who's going to believe
it? Who's going to believe me? Yeah.
I can walk around being like, this guy's my clone. Everybody, look at my clone. And people would be like, well, you guys do look exactly alike, but surely there's something we're missing.
Yeah.
He just goes... The end movie ends with them going to have lunch.
Yeah,
just
with
him
Will
going
Smith
to have...
just cracking Will Smith zingers.
Yeah, and I did not... Again, it's like the biggest twist of this movie for me is when this movie began, I would have not have guessed that it would end with Will Smith just going to lunch with his clone. Like, I would have hoped that's how it ended.
Going to lunch as his clone's dad.
Yeah. Yeah, he's new clone dad.
He's new clone dad.
It's literally the clone being like, man, I can't believe I'm going to look like you when I'm 50. And he's like, oh, if you're lucky. And he's just like, I'll race you right now. And like, it's just like,
Will Smith.
The clone's point of view, he's just like, he bounces back very fast from the whole I'm a clone and my dad was a liar thing.
And I've been killing people for the government for years.
Yeah, and he's just like, okay, new dad, clone dad, sure. Let's go with this. And then they live happily ever after.
Yeah.
And it's great. I love about the cloning. It occurred to me watching this, and it's just, this isn't so much about this movie as about another movie, but the villainous thing that's happening in this, that Clive Owen wants to create an army of soulless clones that will do anything, is something that the Jedi casually do in Star Wars Episode 2, and I just want to point that out.
Yeah, I think I think that was the point, although it's just George Lucas
not execute it well, because it is Obi-Wan. They're just like, look, we have these clone slaves and they don't feel anything, we program them. And Obi-Wan's mm-hmm. like, do they have a soul? Never mind, don't answer that, we got a clone army, guys. And yeah. like they just roll with it. Gemini Man don't roll with it.
No, they sure
Gemini
don't.
Gemini Man is just like, no, that's fucked up,
can't pull that shit on Gemini Man.
Yeah, man, I liked this movie. I mean,
yeah, it's you know, it's not
dumb.
It's dumb, but it was like dumb in a good way.
Yeah, it was dumb in a way that, okay, in a way that you watch the trailers for it and you're, say, you and me, and you know you have to go see this movie. You don't have a choice. You mm-hmm. got a podcast to record.
Yes.
And you think, man, I hope this movie doesn't try to be deep. I hope it doesn't try to be dark. I hope it's just a fun action Will Smith movie where I can leave it feeling just fine. And that's...
And it was.
What it was. And this
is what it delivered on.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think people need to scramble to the theaters for this.
No, but this is like... Okay, so for instance, my folks were in town like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And we wanted to go to a movie, but there wasn't really much playing, so we decided to go see Rambo Last Blood. This would have been a much better... This is a kind yes. of movie you could actually go and see with your parents or something. Yep. Like,
you know,
like
who,
it's yeah.
Yeah. You know who should have bought this? Netflix.
Netflix?
Yep. This is a perfect Netflix film, because Netflix learned this a while ago, where they're like, you know, like someone makes a movie about Sandra Bullock with a blindfold, and they're like, I don't see people coming and like getting out of bed, getting in their cars, driving to another building, paying for a piece of paper, then having that piece of paper like ripped, and then going into a room with other strangers all to mm-hmm. watch this fucking movie about blind Sandra Bullock. And there was like, well, I got a great idea, let's make them not have to do any of that. And that's what happened, and it was the biggest thing on Netflix. This would have benefited from the same procedure, which, if they were just like, hey, look on here on your TV, here's Will Smith fighting a clone of himself, and everybody would watch it, and we'd all love it. The world would be a better place.
Yeah, for one day we'd all just be at peace,
right,
quietly at home, rejoicing in humanity, watching Will Smith
right.
beat the shit out of his clones in a bone museum.
Yeah, this is the thing. In its heart, Gemini Man is a mid-budget film. It's the type of film that doesn't get made anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it cost $130 million.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. Maybe all the effects.
Yeah. Oh, the Will Smith, for one, and all
the
effects.
Will Smith is $20 million right there.
Yeah. This is like, what is this? The same budget as like Aladdin, I assume?
I feel like Aladdin was probably closer to 200.
Yeah, I was going to say, films are also... Like, I remember when $100 million was a big deal, and now
mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine what Endgame costs.
Probably... north of 200.
Yeah, probably more. They probably hit a lot of the costs, I assume.
There's a lot of stars. There's a lot of every single like shot in that film is a big effect shot. Like, yeah.
Yeah, the fucked upness about this is almost a mid-budget film now by budget standards.
At 130 million? Yeah.
But you know what I mean, where it's that this is the problem with movies like this is that it's not something that everybody's going to be racing to the theaters to see. It's a pretty quaint film, but it costs too much to be that quaint in like today's box office. So this
mm-hmm.
really needed to be Netflix. This is where streaming comes in.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm so fascinated by this film.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how this movie got made. Like, I don't know. Again, for that reason.
It's not even doing well overseas. Goodness.
Really? Because
really?
It is. I saw a Chinese production company.
Two. One of them's Alibaba.
Yeah. Did it? Is it already released in China?
It says, it debuted in 5 markets last week and expanded to a total of 58 this weekend. 31 million for an overseas cum that now totals 39 million.
Jesus. Okay, because that was the one thing. Like, I halfway through the movie,
it hasn't opened in Japan or Taiwan yet.
Okay, halfway through the movie, I said to myself, like, oh, I bet this is doing good in China. Which, because I started getting sad because I was watching that motorcycle chase and I was like, this is fantastic, and it just can't compete.
I know.
Because, yeah, it's, it does, it does, like, it doesn't help that there isn't much to it, but there shouldn't be much to it. Like, that's,
yeah, it's,
it, that's it, the issue, it, is that,
it's,
like,
it has enough of a premise on it. So, like, you don't need to dress that up. It's like, oh, he's fighting his clone. That's nuts.
Right. Like, and it also is just a fun action movie. It just feels like we reserve that part of our brain now for Marvel films have pretty much taken up fun action genre. And like whenever it's like this, unless it's like a Mission Impossible, like it's really hard to break into that where it's like, I mean, I guess Mission Impossible's Fast and Furious is, this is not really going to be a series. They don't open it up for a series.
No, it's pretty self-contained.
It just doesn't have a home. And I do think it was probably studio meddling where, like, maybe it started as, like, a really grounded sci-fi premise. And then Will Smith got attached and it was like, no, let's make it fun and action-y. And he probably wasn't wrong because the end result is a blast. But it doesn't go anywhere now.
Oh,
it's not
man.
Ex Machina and it's not Avengers, you know what I mean?
Dave.
What?
This movie's been in production since the 90s.
Yeah, that checks out.
Well, the original director attached to it is Tony Scott, who is dead now.
Holy shit. Like,
that's how long this movie's been in production.
Wow. Who was going to be the Gemini Man?
From 2003 to 2010, Nicolas Cage.
Ah! Why didn't we get that?
He was attached to it, but you know who originally the role was written with Clint Eastwood in mind.
Why?
I don't know.
He was never young enough to do this.
Johnny Depp turned it down.
How? Okay.
Oh my God. Okay, so this is a Bruckheimer production.
Yeah.
They were going to do it in 2008, but Nicolas Cage convinced Bruckheimer to do The Sorcerer's Apprentice instead.
That's amazing. What were they going to do to make him younger? Were they going to put a young actor in old man makeup?
I assume Clint Eastwood would have played the old assassin, and then they just would have got a guy who... Yeah, they would have got a guy who looks vaguely like him.
That would have been
to
hilarious.
To play him as a young man, yeah.
I assume the Nicolas Cage one, they were just going to... I don't know what. Maybe I sure hope they weren't going to use computers. I just want to watch that. That's basically just Face Off again.
What fucking goblins are submitting? Okay. This is on the IMDb trivia page for this film.
Okay.
This marks the first time in a movie that Mary Elizabeth Winstead has been tied up and had her mouth gagged. That is trivia.
Written by a serial killer.
For Gemini Man. Also, is that accurate? Wasn't she abducted in Cloverfield Lane?
I don't know.
But no, she's never tied up, I don't think.
Yeah.
She just wakes up in the basement. But that's a weird fucking thing to submit as trivia.
Yeah.
Like, what?
That person should go to jail.
Yeah, we need to do, yeah, this is... for the good of the nation, we need to Batman this shit.
Yeah, like we need Dark to find who
Dark
wrote
Knight
that?
His ass.
Oh man,
track him down by bugging every cell phone in America.
We are in quite no man's land here. The IMDb trivia for Gemini Man. How many people do you suppose have entered that area of the internet? How many?
I don't know.
How many people have watched Gemini Man and thought, I need to look up the trivia?
One person found this piece of trivia interesting.
Oh, there we go. What the fuck?
What?
Gemini Man. Oh man, yeah. Who?
Imagine that being your takeaway.
I just want to see the computer. What the computer looks like that was typed on.
I think you and I. I think we know what it looks like.
Yeah, that's true. It's basically just in a dark John Doe's apartment from Seven.
Yeah, it's lit by like vaguely plague-ish yellow light.
Do you think that person goes through every movie and marks whether or not it's the first time an actress has been tied up in the film?
Tied up and gagged.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
Can you click on the username?
Let's see.
Can you see what other things this person
has
done?
Can I see what other things this person has submitted? I don't know. Let me see.
Okay.
Do-to-do.
Right. He's doing it, folks. We're going on a journey here. This is what Gemini Man has done. I mean, the fact that it was been worked on since the 90s all checks out to me. At a certain point, I feel like a project they should probably give up on. Especially since there wasn't an amazing idea in this. I think they just knew, why haven't we done a movie where an actor fights a clone of themselves?
It won't tell me who. They refuse to reveal who submitted this.
No. All right. Fair enough, IMDb. Can you sign up for IMDb Pro so we can track them down?
I used to be, but...
Yeah. There's no point.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I really think it's just famous actor fights their clone. Let's make this a movie. And they've been skipping around from actor to actor, and I think they get the actor interested because they're like, oh, what a cool idea. And then they read the script and they're like, yeah, I don't know about this. But I'd love to see all the different drafts of this movie over the years. We should do this every year. We should do a movie.
Gemini Man.
Yeah, new Gemini Man. That fucking, you watch that Doolittle trailer. Do we really need that? Do we really need that film? You could have spent all that money on Robert Downey Jr. fighting himself.
I'm so excited for that piece of shit.
Yeah, which I think in a way, Doolittle is going to be Robert Downey Jr. fighting himself. In its own way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch Doolittle.
Yep. It's coming out in January, the best year, the best month for new films.
Why is it a slow, dark cover song? Why did they do that for the trailer? Why did they think that was the tone we needed for Doolittle?
I don't know.
It's incredible. It's everything. It's every new trope that we're... It's the font... Looks like it's from 2009. The coloring looks like one of them Alice in Wonderlands or like Oz the Great and Powerful. Like it's got that, it's just got that like tired late 2000s fantasy look that we just don't, that like never really succeeds anymore. I don't know. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about Doolittle another time. I am fascinated by that film.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
That's Robert Downey Jr. looking for a new franchise.
Yeah.
I guess.
He doesn't need to do that. I don't think this is it.
No. I don't think this is it, Robert.
I don't think so. I want to see Robert Downey Jr. in Gemini 2.
Mm-hmm. Beating the shit out of himself.
Mm-hmm. That would be great.
In a bone museum.
In a bone museum. That was a hell of a scene.
Yeah, pretty good.
I feel like we haven't actually talked about the specific scenes, but... There's not really a need to. I think people have understood from us talking about it what kind of movie they're in store for and whether or not they want to see it. I'm going to give you all a hard wait for streaming. That said, I think you could rent it. Like, I think it's worth $4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's perfectly watchable.
Yeah, and you know what? If you want something to see in the theaters, like it was better than Joker, in my opinion. I enjoyed it more than Joker. Yeah. So if you're looking for something to watch. Yeah.
If you want to go to the movies and maybe don't want to take your parents to see Rambo Last Blood, Gemini Man.
Yeah. Although there is that one hardcore fuck scene right there, right in the middle with with Clive Owen.
Yeah.
It was very jarring.
Yep, it's a character we've never seen before and don't see again.
Yep, they just wanted us to know how hard he fucks. Mm-hmm. It was a big part of that character.
It's super hard too. He fucks
super
real
hard.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, look at Clive
Owen.
Of course he does.
Yeah, it's more man. Clive Owen, can you do movies more? Like good movies. Like I like again. Gemini Man's great. It's great, but like remember when he was doing Children of Men, And then, like...
And Sin City?
Yeah, and Sin City. Yeah, he was great in Sin City. And mm-hmm. now he's just sort of just showing up. He's just showing up.
He's sort of... Yeah, he had a couple of pretty awesome stuff in, like, the early 2000s.
Yeah.
With, like, those two movies. And King Arthur was all right. And then Closer.
Closer.
He was in some shit. And now he's sort of... He's aged into that, I guess, part of his life where he's getting cast as, like, the yeah. older villain, or because he plays, like, a similar role in Valerian.
Yeah, he reminds me of Michael Fassbender in that that's another actor who, when I first started seeing his work, I was like, I am so excited for a long career of amazing performances and really good movies. Mm-hmm. And then not so much.
Fassbender's been in some good stuff, but...
So is Clive Owen. They've yeah. been in some good stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're also in, like, X-Men Apocalypse.
Like, they can't all be home runs.
Yeah, it just... I expected something... look, it's not their fault. I'm not blaming you, Michael Fassbender, if you're listening, or Clive Owen. You're making money. You're getting paid. I just expected a career that was going to be more in the direction of, like, Daniel Day-Lewis. You know? Where it was like, these guys are fucking great. I can't wait to see how they will blossom. And maybe they still will. Maybe they still will.
Yeah.
But they started strong, and then, again, they're not bad actors.
I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis even. Like, what was that musical he made? 9, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't always have...
No, he doesn't always make the best decisions
I mean,
either.
He's got a pretty good track.
He's got a good run. Got a good run.
But every now and then he comes out with... Right. God, it's another thing I forget. Yeah, it's called 9. It's another thing I frequently forget about Daniel Day-Lewis is he's only in he's in one movie every like 4 or 5 years.
Oh yeah, he's in like 10 movies total.
Yeah, he's barely been in any movies.
Yeah, that's part of why we love him. That's part of why I love him. He's like a limited, he's a small, a little goes a long way. Like mm-hmm. cocaine.
Oh yeah.
He's like the cocaine of actors. Just gonna shove them in your nose.
Snort them right. Rub a little Daniel Day-Lewis on your gums.
Uh huh. To make sure it's real. To make sure it's the good stuff.
It's the good Day-Lewis. It hasn't been otherwise cut with any baking soda.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're gonna have to fucking kick some fools.
Yep.
You have to blow people away like you're Will Smith and shooting Clive Owen casually.
So no look murder.
No look murder. What a murder!
What a solid murder.
Holy shit. All right. I think feel like we've covered this movie. And I think everybody knows our thoughts. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that's a sode.
That's a sode.
It's we've a piping hot sode. We've fresh out of the oven.
A steamy coil of sode.
Mm-hmm. Steamy coil of sode in the corner on the rug.
Just you don't waiting. Notice for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, come over and pick up that sode. Pick it up with a napkin. Yeah.
And then shampoo the carpet.
Yeah.
It's all crusty and stuck in there.
Mm-hmm. That's this sode.
What the fuck are we talking about?
I don't know. Gemini got me really excited, and I feel like a kid again. And so just anything goes. It's just a stream of consciousness right now.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah,
Dave,
all right.
Tell them about our Patreon.
Yeah, let me tell you guys about our Patreon. It's patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We also watch movies every Friday with our subscribers. We do mm-hmm. We have all sorts of tiers there. You can make us watch specific movies if you want. It's good times. It's good times. Maybe we'll watch... Daniel Day-Lewis movie or Replicas. Could. We'll probably watch Replicas.
We should probably watch Replicas. Yeah, yeah. That would be in our best interest.
Absolutely.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. If you are into shirts, I'm into shirts. I'm a fan.
Most people are into shirts, I think.
We got a cool poster for Fox Mulder. We got some stuff in there, so look at that.
We got some physical things that
we
you
have
can get.
Physical items that you can purchase, and they will become yours.
Yep. Shit. I guess that's it.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's all.
I think we did a great job. So everybody, I give us a round of applause.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Thank you. Listening. Thanks. Thank you. Really.
Really appreciate it.